No, I'm not going to be watching. Probably, maybe I'll see a little bit of it. I'm not going to be watching Mueller because you can't take all those bites out of the apple. We had no collusion, no obstruction. We had no nothing. We had a total no collusion finding.
Apparently, in a deal with America's fruit producers, bites out of the apple is the new Republican talking point in the last 24 hours. Lindsey Graham dropped it, a few others, and, of course, the president there. Senator Durbin joins us. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm doing fine. Many things to talk to you about. I know you were very pleased to see the White Sox put the netting up. Does Congress play any role in this, to making sure all MLB teams do it, or are they private companies?
It's really a decision by Major League Baseball and its owners. Major League Baseball has been encouraging netting for several years. Hats off to Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox for stepping up. I think the first and highest priority is the safety of fans. 3-1, they believe that netting makes it a safer place to watch a ball game. And as one person, there are some critics, of course, but as one person said, you know, if you're 6 or 7 rows back from that netting, you don't even notice it. And for years, the best seats in the place, in the stadium, were behind netting, and nobody complained about it at all.
Yeah.
Let's make it safe to bring your kids and grandkids there.
I've been lucky to sit in good seats like that behind netting. You don't notice it. I mean, you really don't.
No, of course not.
Boris Johnson is the new UK prime minister. Before we all panic and run into the streets going, now we've lost the UK, what do we know?
Well, we know that when he gets together with President Trump, it will be a meeting of historic hairdos. And I don't know if a policy will emerge. But they seem
about a policy on their hair.
That's right. they seem to have the same brand of politics. And I don't think that Boris Johnson is a magician, and he's going to inherit the problems that his predecessor had when it comes to Brexit. There are certain elements that are very, very difficult to reconcile. Scotland is not all that happy with the outcome with Brexit and may move toward independence. Northern Ireland does not want a hard border with Ireland itself. And those are the two dilemmas that his predecessor faced, and he's going to face, too.
The U.K. needs the United States. The United States needs the U.K. Is this some weird confluence of events where, because Trump and Boris Johnson share some characteristics, maybe they can work together?
I don't know. These two are...
Well, that's how desperate I'm getting, Senator. I'm trying to find any reason for people to get along.
I know. I don't know Mr. Johnson as well as I've come to know the president, and I don't know what they could agree on. The president has been a cheerleader for Brexit, but it is virtually impossible to see an outcome which is positive for the United Kingdom from where I'm sitting. So I think Boris Johnson has just a few months left to prove otherwise.
We've got kids who are innocent, regardless of whether or not their parents were in this country illegally or not, who still have not been reunited with their parents. Do we know how many kids are in that circumstance?
We don't. We know that, there were several phases of this. In the phase that was monitored by the federal court, 2,880 children were toddlers, infants, children, separated from their parents with no bureaucratic tracing. And so they were just cast adrift until the court required the Department of Homeland Security to find their parents. They never found them all. Some of them were sent back to their countries with loose instruction that the kids would follow, and they never did. So we continue to have this problem. We can do better, for goodness sakes, in this age of computers and all of the information available to us, and artificial intelligence, and you name it. The fact that we can't keep track of kids and parents at the border is unforgivable. It's inhumane.
Yeah, and again, it's children. These children have done nothing. Nothing. And the idea that I could have lost 2 bags and had 3 flights canceled last Thursday at O'Hare, had 1 bag fly to New York without me, the other one still at O'Hare, and I get both of them back within 3 days, and they can't put kids back with their families? It's ridiculous.
No excuse. Let me tell you one thing I want to share with your listeners. In all of the depressing experiences which we had in our visit to the border, there were a few rays of hope, and one of them was a woman named Sister Norma, who runs Catholic Charities in McAllen, Texas. This woman is an extraordinary Catholic nun who literally helps thousands of these people come finally through this process and find a caring group of volunteers and others who are there by their side as they try to determine the next step. A fellow named Ruben Garcia at Annunciation Project in El Paso, the same. So as we've seen so many exhibitions of inhumane conduct and meanness, it's good to know that these two, Sister Norma and Ruben Garcia, are doing their part to give these people humane treatment in the United States.
Well, God bless both of them. Another Democratic debate in a couple of weeks. I frankly find the ongoing discussions of 2020 pretty tedious, considering what we're in the middle of. However, it's a relevant topic. And can you explain in any way, shape, or form, after all your years, why the Democrats are so bad at marketing and why this is just looks like a big inner fight when the majority of the country is looking for an alternative?
You remember the old cliche, Will Rogers, I don't belong to any organized political party, I'm a Democrat. There are times when our people get together, and in this case, 24, 25 of them, I lose count, and they have a different view on the future of this country, and that's different. I mean, that's important, and I'm glad that they express themselves. I want to make sure that we keep ourselves grounded in the world of reality, though. Voters are listening a little bit, not as closely as they will in the months to come, and I hope that they hear from us some practical solutions to deal with the problems that their families face. You know, when you ask people point blank, what do you worry about? I'm worried about paying for my kids' college. I'm worried about the cost of prescription drugs. I'm worried about living to be 95 and not having enough retirement to cover that period of my life. You know, these are the practical things that people think about, and we'd better address them.
The bare minimum standards of what we expect a president to be have not been met by the current occupant of the White House. Tomorrow, Bob Mueller will face about 5 hours of questioning in the House. And aside from the pontificating that too many Republicans and Democrats do when they have their 5 minutes, some important questions will be asked. What's your level of optimism that we'll get anything out of this?
Listen, I know Bob Mueller, and I've worked with him for years and years, and I have the highest regard for him. He is not a political figure. He is a competent legal professional. He handled the inquiry that he was assigned in that fashion. I knew he would. His report is extensive and detailed, and I'm sure he will get into some of that detail. But if people are expecting some political breakthrough here or some big revelation, I don't think that's what's in the cards. What is more likely is he will address the fundamental, the basic that you started the program with, and that is whether this president was found innocent of obstruction and collusion. I know he wasn't, and Mueller's report said he wasn't. The report said the Department of Justice said we don't prosecute a sitting president, so we're not going to suggest that. But they certainly did not exonerate him.
And pardon that other audio. I don't know where that came from. I mentioned this earlier, a couple of questions that come up, but I'll leave you with this. Just as a man and as someone who's given most of his life to this country professionally and someone who risked his life in Vietnam for this country and did it proudly and has never asked for attention, he took on this job and a responsibility that came with this job. He said, I'm going to turn it over to Congress because that's what I should do based on what I know. We now know what the Congress, what Congress is doing, specifically the Republican Party. Does that change his outlook tomorrow? I'm not asking him to save the nation, but there are things that he maybe could say tomorrow, now knowing that the Republicans are going to do nothing.
Well, it's possible. I think his letter to Attorney General Barr suggesting that the first characterization of his report was not accurate is an indication that he wants to stick to the letter of that report. And I think tomorrow the American people will see this man. You know, he's not had a PR machine during this whole thing. And he's been up against a president who must have said witch hunt 1,000 times. And I think tomorrow you're going to see a solid professional deliver a report that he was asked to deliver for the good of this country. And I think many people will, it'll be a revelation to them what's included.
What's your biggest concern in the Senate today?
Oh, we got a lot of concerns, but the first and foremost is to make sure that we end up with a process that does not shut down our government again, that we pay our debts as promised with the national debt ceiling. Fundamentals that used to be taken for granted, we now have to work hard to achieve.
It seems weird that the Democrats have to catch up to the Republicans in spending. It's just kind of the upside-down world we're living in, huh?
Well, it reflects, Steve, the Bush tax cuts piled on the Trump tax cuts at the highest levels of income.
Yeah, somebody's got to pay for this.
Making inequality worse, and ultimately our kids and grandkids face the bill for it.
75 and sunny in Chicago today. Are you in D.C.?
I am.
Well, you're missing it. I would suggest you come home and just stand outside and go, this is where I should be.
Can't wait to get back.
All the best. Thanks for the time.
See ya.